It's possible to look at things from two positions and see a totally different picture. Now, I have had many people ask me, Pastor, either you were wrong, or God was wrong, or Dave Wilkerson was wrong. Because you get two different, totally different pictures. I let them know. God's always right. And I could sure be wrong. Dave Wilkerson can sure be wrong. God is always right. But I have let them know that there, and this is the truth, there are two ways to see things. There is tremendous darkness in this old world from ground level. There's blackness. Things look horrible. But at the same time, from God's point of view, things are different. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 5. The calendar date had not changed. The political situation had not changed. The world conditions in the world hadn't changed. But notice what did change. In verse 30 of chapter 5, and in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold, darkness and sorrow. And the light is darkened in the heavens thereof, blackness everywhere. Oh, what a horrible sight, ground level. But in that year, Isaiah saw something. In the year that King Uzziah died, I not only saw that darkness, that awful situation, I saw also the Lord. And then things looked different. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, telling me that he was in command. He was on the throne. He was in control. Then he said, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It was a beautiful sight that God was not a defeated God in chains. But he had that train of great glory following him. His train filled the temple. Then it said, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, and here's the viewpoint. Here's what Isaiah saw now. He said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Whenever you see the Lord of hosts, it's referring to this heavenly armies, his heavenly beings there. And he said, the whole earth. That's what he saw up in heaven. Then he looked down. Is that the world down there? Hey, that must be a different world. The one I saw was all full of darkness and sorrow and heartache. Oh, no. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we can look up, catch a glimpse of the Almighty, then look down, things will be different. That's what happened to Balaam in Numbers, the 24th chapter. In the 23rd chapter, he had been looking at things underneath. Oh, what a terrific situation there is on this earth. And he said, then I saw the Almighty. And this says the man, he said, who has seen the Almighty. Now, he said, oh, things look so different. There the people are like a well-watered garden with flowers. And God himself is walking among them with his water pot, caring for each individual. Didn't have a mass irrigation system. He didn't just have a blanket rule for everybody. He said everybody has their individual needs. So here he comes with his little water bucket for every individual plant. And that's what God is doing. As you look down through his eyes, you see God walking among them, caring for each one, hallelujah, seeing each need, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. I think you ought to shout hallelujah to that. Praise God. The whole earth is filled with his glory.
God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. It's sure there are some dark times. But you can change the color of that darkness by moving a little closer to God. Hallelujah. Recognizing that He is in control. When your eyes have seen, like Balaam, that vision of the Almighty. I wasn't going to mention this to you today, but I'm going to. I feel that this group of people that comes on Friday is one of the key groups, actually, channels from your lives. I feel life-giving strength that comes from God. Through you, God pours out of His life. You become a catalyst for many, many people. You become channels of blessing. There's an openness before God. There's a hunger. You wouldn't be here on a Friday morning. It's something that God has put in your heart. And I feel in talking about the glory of God and in our position before God. If the enemy could get our eyes onto little things that really didn't amount to very much. I was making my report for next Wednesday's church advanced meeting. God has given us a beautiful year here at Central Assembly, and I was thinking of the gains that we see and numbers and so on. And the Lord lifted my eyes and let me see that what He has accomplished is something that we will never know unless we could somehow get up and look at His book, where God Himself keeps the records. And the impact of what God has done through this church in a worldwide ministry. Instead of 50 people, instead of 100 people, instead of 1,000 people, the impact, it cannot be weighed with small numbers and say, look what has been accomplished, because whatever has happened, God is doing it. And it's worldwide. Praise God. And I thought day before yesterday, as I received a call from a lady that had just returned from Iceland, she called me from Seattle, and she said, Pastor, literally thousands of people are turning to God because they've listened to those messages that somebody had sent over there, and they've been reduplicated. And they're having meetings in homes and prayer meetings, and the community, the country, though it's not a heavily populated country, has turned their hearts to God. Hallelujah. And she just returned. She said, I cannot believe what I've seen happen there. I have a letter on my desk right now where a man is writing from Europe and said he had been delegated to write that large groups of people in Denmark, in Holland, in France, Switzerland, and Germany have been listening to these messages, and their lives have been so turned around, and so many people have found the Lord. He said they wanted me to write and beg you if you could come over here and just share firsthand with all of these people a convention in each one of these countries. I don't know when. The only way I would go is if the Lord Himself let me know that this was necessary. It looks like He's already gotten His job done if all those people turning to the Lord. But the thing is this, folks. Around the world, God is doing something very special. Hallelujah. The Spirit said He had given wings to those messages, and that He is accompanying them. And I believe it. Don't you?
Amen.
Praise God. I believe it. But this has created a real, what would I say, satanic action, because Satan knows his time is short. He doesn't know what God is doing, but he's got some ideas what might be doing, and all he has done down through the years is create a delaying action. Like when Moses was going to be born, he didn't know where he was going to be born. He didn't know much about it. He's not near as smart as people give him credit for. He didn't know that it was Moses, so he had all the babies. And he didn't know just when, so he had to take all of them 2 years old and under. Same way when Christ was born. Satan is not, he's an angel that is not does not have the ability to be omnipresent everywhere at once. He doesn't have the ability to be omniscient, to know everything, though he has been an archangel of the past. Lucifer was his name. But just as there are angels of God in different ranks, there's the leading angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and as a coordinator of God's great organization. God is so highly organized, like the stars of heaven are so accurate. God's organization is absolutely beautiful, but He has, beginning on this earth, the ministering spirits who live right here with us. That God says they encamp around those. They take their orders from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit, and they're helping us all the time, ministering to us. And they can know the hurts, the cares. They can know the objections. They can know the strains and the pressures, and they're around. They help us. And they carry through them the heartbeat of Jesus. Because they're his love and his care and his concern. Then there are the angels that God has sent forth on special assignment, a special task force to accomplish his work. This task force that he has out in the world now that will not listen to any objections. The ministering spirits can, but these angels that are bringing people to a point of choice that Gabriel has led into the world, working the world around right now. They're busy. Then there's the great warring angels that are equipped to do battle with the forces of darkness. And the coordination of God's great planning is the most beautiful thing that you could imagine. And all, then there's these angels that are all like general angels with their various responsibilities under them, a chain of command. When Lucifer fell, he took a section, so he has the chain of command also, and there are higher demons and some that move on down to a lesser degree. But the word speaks of the princes of darkness. They're higher in Satan's category. I'm not giving you a lesson on demonology. I'm mentioning this to you so you can see something that God is doing. When Satan has made a special delaying tactic or an effort to hurt God's work. If he felt God was doing something at any time in history, he has gathered together the princes of darkness, and they have used all of their strategy possible to try and hurt what God was doing. For example, when Daniel, they knew that something was happening, that Daniel was being contacted. And it caused the princes of darkness to want to stop, if possible, the message that God was bringing through Daniel. And when Gabriel came against a great force, for 21 days he was delayed. He told Daniel this. 21 days. Because they were had gathered to hinder him in coming. And he said the Holy Spirit then finally sent the greatest angel might of the of all the warring angels. He is not quite the same rank as Gabriel, but he is the top of the in command of all of the warring angels. And Michael came down, and because of the tremendous spiritual might of this angel, he was able to push back all of those forces of darkness and say, "Okay, Gabriel, get on in through there." And so when Gabriel was talking to Daniel about it, he says, "Daniel, I couldn't get through it for 21 days, but Michael came and he said, I want you to know." And I always read that wrong until he told me differently. I thought that maybe they were all so busy that they couldn't get anybody else, because he said only Michael stood with me. But what he was really saying, all it took was Michael to stand with me. Push him back. Praise God. Well, the reason I mention this, God's doing something very special now. And when I say this, it's without any type of elevation of this church, of this people, but it's somehow in the plan of God that was laid out who knows how long ago. God's great planning and purpose. God keeps his plan, you see, in his work. But because of what God is doing and the ministry and the fact that he has chosen, just like he did in Daniel's time, as a point to pour his message and his word, a special insight for this day. And it's a place, it's a touchdown place, there's no question about, for angelic beings. Satan has recognized that. He doesn't know what it's all about, but he has brought princes of darkness to try and stop. On Monday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. I heard something halfway, maybe 5 or 6 steps away from my bed, toward the stairs, and I heard something downstairs, and I went down. It was a tremendous activity going on down right down in our house. So I went down, and I'm in awe. In fact, it's in such awe of what God is doing, I can hardly talk about it. But I saw there this angel that has been assigned to Gabriel, Brioni, and 3 other general angels, if you use that term, that were generals, or at least captains of the hosts of heaven. And I could hear them picking messages from the Holy Spirit and sending out commands, the 4 of them in there in my living room. And Gabriel met me at the foot of the stairs. And I know this sounds trite, it sounds strange to you, but it's a fact. He met me and took me into our family room and talked with me and told me these very things that I'm telling you, that the princes of darkness, because of what God was doing, had endeavored to fight against these angelic beings. And he said the Holy Spirit, knowing the way the enemy is working, when he knows he has but a short time, and has brought to this area for this particular time these princes of darkness, he said, God has sent Michael here with me. I had never seen Michael before, but he introduced me to Michael. And that's when he told me that because of the tremendous might, that He needed no other force other than Michael to push back the powers of darkness when he came to Daniel. But he said the Holy Spirit had sent Michael and his angels. They were surrounding the not just our place, but that because of the millions of them that had come. Michael talked with me quite at length, but his countenance was more, though I could sense compassion and love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because there's the nature. Heaven, the atmosphere of heaven is the nature of Jesus. And these angelic beings all have that nature, that tremendous compassion. But I sensed more of a fierce countenance, chiseled features, and the description of him that Daniel gave of the angelic beings was even at a more complete there, as I saw this. He was dressed like Gabriel, had that wide gold belt about him. His white tunic was had a kind of a gold embroidery on it, but his feet shone just like the color of someone that had a white man with a deep tan, and like Daniel said, it was like burnished brass, just shone in his hands and his arm. But there was such a definite command about it. I could see if a human being felt this way, I could just know how what it would mean to any force of the darkness. Michael told me something that I had never put in perspective before. But I realized that people have to forget their little boxes of doctrines when God brings truth, because God can do what he wants to do and knows what he wants to do. But Michael didn't say that he was trying to fit anything that he was telling me into what and support anybody particular person's views. He just told me what he was going to do. And he said, I have an assignment. Up till now, he said, up until the appointed time that God has, our task is not to destroy Satan, but to scatter the forces of darkness, to hold them in abeyance, to overcome them, to keep them from God's people, or from people. But he said, I have an assignment that I'm waiting for, where I'm not going to have to show any respect for Lucifer anymore. He said, that assignment is to sweep the heavens clean of every single demon, fallen angel. And he said, we will not leave room for even one. He said, if you are not aware of it, though there is some type of an evil force at least 24 hours a day that's trying to approach God to accuse God's people of things God's already forgiven them for, because he cannot see things the way God sees them. He knows they're forgiven, but he keeps accusing people. But he said, the last one, all of them are going to be swept clean. He said that he knows Lucifer is going to try and fight, but he said he doesn't have a chance. Praise God. He said, if you want to read about this, he said, what's coming, you can turn to, he said, it's found in Revelation 12, and verses 7 through 10. I didn't know that Michael had angels before. I thought all of them, but this is the way the Word tells us. And so it said there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the old dragon. And the dragon, it says, decided to fight back, but he could not prevail. And so he said,
There was no place left for them. And they were swept clean. They were all cast out.
And during that time, the reason why those days of tribulation are going to be so bad is because every last one of the devils of hell, the demons of hell, are going to be on the earth. You can read it. You can read it in those verses. I opened up and read it when he left, and I was so amazed. I thought I had that pretty well divided up and put into little packages, you know. But he didn't even try and fit it into anything. I thought, well, this was something making reference to way, way back when that originally happened, but that isn't what he's making reference to. He said, and then I believe it's the 10th verse, said this one was, they accused all of the brethren day and night. Well, there weren't any brethren at that time when he was up there before, you see. And he didn't make the nations tremble because there weren't any nations. So when God cast him out of his favor and cast him down, he became the prince of this power of the air, of the heavens rounds, but he's going to be swept clean. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Right? Coming right direct from the presence of God, the power and the force in that house was so strong that it was most of the day Monday had gone by before I could hardly move, because the human body is not really made to contain that force, that radiation. I know it wouldn't hurt me, because God wouldn't do something that would hurt. But there's a reaction to it. It's not a bad reaction, but I want you to know that it's something that has an impact on you.
Yes.
But listen, God's in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what was happening there in that living room was that Creone and these other angels of equal rank with him were commanding giant, great armies in heaven. Again, there was a battle going on right there. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
He said when he left, he said, we're leaving these forces here for as long as they're needed. And they were, incidentally, they were here Sunday in the during the day, and I don't know whether some of you probably remember Mike Davis saying that he could hardly stand up there; his knees were so weak. He was feeling that. They told me that they were in the service. Praise God. But there, I don't know how long this great army is here. I know the ministry spirits are here all the time. See. But there was an army that came from heaven. Praise God. I feel that it's hard for the human mind to comprehend what's actually taking place. I think we can say, well, it sounds kind of strange. But literally, folks, the Creator of the heavens and the earth is doing something special. And these appearances are not just because the angels decide they want to come. They cannot come, they cannot appear, they can't speak, unless God says, go down and do it.
Amen.
Amen. And he's saying, praise God. I don't know how you feel. I believe there's some of them around here right now.
Praise God.
Let's just lift our voice and our hands and worship the Lord.
We trust that you have enjoyed this message on Michael and his angels. For more information, be sure to listen to the message. This is your day.